Talk Radio for Catholic Life.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
Being a mom is hard, and without our Catholic faith, it's even harder.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
Five minutes after the hour. Good morning. Buenos dias. Welcome to Morning Air on this Tuesday, June 1st, the Feast of St. Justin Martyr. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. It's great to be with you once again on the same Morning Air show where it all started for this reporter 18 years ago. Thanks so much for joining us on my first show as the new host of Morning Air. I hope you had a blessed Memorial Day weekend as we begin this month of June dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's a great joy for me to be with each and every one of you, our Relevant Radio family, coast to coast from Maui to Maine on the Relevant Radio Network and on the Relevant Radio app. We begin each hour with prayer, giving thanks to the Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we continue to pray, as we've been doing for such a long time here on Relevant Radio, for a complete end of the pandemic and peace and unity in our country. I also want to take a moment to welcome our bilingual Spanish-speaking listeners down in Texas, in South Texas, in Florida, Illinois, Northwest Indiana, and Missouri, who have followed us over from Relevant Radio en Español. Bienvenidos, hermanos y hermanas en Cristo. Welcome to my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are absolutely a part of the Relevant Radio family. In case you missed it last Friday, we had the opportunity to say goodbye to my now former colleague, John Harper, the longtime host of Morning Air. I want to thank John. I want to take a moment to thank him for his absolutely outstanding 7-plus years of dedication to this show, bringing Christ to our Relevant Radio family every single day on Morning Air as he moves on to another chapter of his life. All my best and many blessings to John. He is in our prayers. I'm sure the good Lord is saying, well done, good and faithful servant. John Harper always spoke, he did it all the time, about the Holy Spirit as the executive producer of Morning Air, right down to the very last show. Well, folks, that's absolutely going to continue here on Morning Air. We hope to continue to bring the light of Christ to Morning Air every day. Try to look at everything that's happening in the world from an authentic Catholic perspective. Coming up in a few minutes, Sean Carney, the president and CEO of 40 Days for Life, is going to be with us to talk about Planned Parenthood and its clergy advisory board. Did you even know that there are members of the clergy that actually support Planned Parenthood? Well, we'll fill you in. We'll also talk about the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in this month of June with Catholic evangelist Omar Aguilar from the Diocese of Dallas, Texas. And we'll have another edition of Glenn's Story Corner. Some of you may remember me from the early days of Morning Air way back in 2003 when I was the sports director and fill-in host. When we first launched this show back on April 21st of 2003, believe it or not, there were only 14 stations on Relevant Radio at that time, most of them in the Midwest. Some of you may also remember my signature power scripture from the Playbook of Life. Well, folks, it's back. Our first power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. St. Paul reminds us that it doesn't matter if you're a lawyer, doctor, mother, or a professional athlete, whatever you do, if you do it for Jesus and for his glory, you're on the right track. You can sanctify your work if you do it for the Lord. If you've been listening to Relevant Radio since the very beginning and you remember those early days of Morning Air, give us a call. Tell us how Relevant Radio has changed your life. Our number, if you want to join our conversation, you can call us at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. I spent many years since the early days of Morning Air producing sports and pro-life documentaries over the last decade, including the Champions of Faith baseball movie and also the 40 film. The last couple of years, I've been hosting Relevant Radio en vivo on our Relevant Radio en Español network. And just when I was getting my Spanish down, it's back to English. I'm also reunited with my old colleague, Glenn Leverance. We go way back to the early days of Morning Air. We talk sports and faith many, many a time. Glenn, it's great to be with you once again.
John, welcome back. Welcome back. Great to have you along. And as you mentioned, boy, oh boy, Relevant Radio has come a long way since 14 stations back in 2003 to over 180 now and around the world online at relevantradio.com. It's great to have you back.
Thanks, Glenn. It's great to hear your voice as well. Who would have thunk it back in those days when we were just a few little stations in Wisconsin and mostly in the Midwest, and now we are really truly America's Catholic Radio Network, coast to coast and around the world on relevantradio.com.
Yeah, it's just a privilege to be able to be here doing this. You know, we both love radio and be able to talk about our faith as well. And so we're looking forward to still doing that in as strong a fashion as ever.
Well, Glenn, how was your Memorial Day weekend?
Oh, it was good. It was busy. It was filled with some faith things and some baseball things, too. I tell you, I got to get in the batting cage a little bit at my wife's cousin's house on Sunday night and then got to get behind the mic to do the PA announcing for our local town team baseball team yesterday in a big 2-1 victory as well. So it was some beautiful weather to be enjoyed as well.
Outstanding. That sounds like a lot of fun. Getting into cages, the closest I get to the cages is when I take my 13-year-old travel baseball son, Joseph Dominic, to the cages to work on his hitting. I don't actually jump in. I just kind of do the dad coaching on the side. Glenn, as you know, we've talked about sports and faith and sports as a metaphor for life so many times on the show. It's really kind of part of my life. And now as a baseball dad, it's really come alive. You know, I've had some amazing experiences just watching my little guy develop. He's not so little anymore. I actually look up to him. He's about 3 inches taller than daddy. And this weekend was a lot of fun. You know, we had the traditional Memorial Day weekend tournament. It's called Salute to the Troops. And, you know, my son and his teammates learned the virtue of humility. They went against a virtual all-star team, and they were knocked out this weekend. So baseball teaches you humility without a doubt, as you well know.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, the thing, and I used to look at this, too, when I was, for doing radio myself, for teaching others as a program director at one point, like every time you crack the mic is like a new at-bat. And you get a chance to get up there and do it again, even if you flub up or fail the previous time. It's a new at-bat every time you crack the mic.
Without a doubt. And that, in so many ways, mirrors life because, you know, every day is like a new at-bat. Every day we got to run it out. I remember Father Rocky in the early days used to remind me, you got to run it out. You got to respect 90. You go from home to first and you go hard. And it's the same thing in life. And, you know, we start the day off every day giving thanks to the good Lord for all the many, many blessings that we've had, and that's such a part of the tradition here on Morning Air.
Oh, it certainly is, and we love to get folks' day off to a great start, and that's going to continue.
Well, Glenn, I have said it many, many times. In fact, the phrase was borrowed over the years, especially during the pledge drives. Our faith is not a spectator sport. We got to come down from the stands and get in the game. It's not good enough to just watch. We got to practice. We got to get in the game.
Well, I tell you, I started out at Relevant Radio, you know, maybe as the water boy on the sidelines, and I got watching so much, I thought, oh, I want to get in that game. And when you and I first worked together, you know, 100 years ago at Relevant Radio, I was not yet Catholic. And as we've had a chance to talk many times through the past several years, I became an adult convert along with my wife. And so I can continue that conversation on a lot of things we talk about from a convert's point of view now. Happily, all the fault of Relevant Radio and the Holy Spirit.
Definitely. And just like Relevant Radio touched your heart and was such a big part of your conversion, basically the fulfillment of your Christian faith as a Lutheran now, with the fullness of the faith as a Catholic, it also has touched so many lives across our country. You know, one of the reasons why I came back to Relevant Radio, that I always had this desire to want to come back after making documentaries and films, was an email that I received way back in the day, my goodness, years ago, from a woman who wrote it's an email that I still have to this day. She wrote, "I used to hear you on Relevant Radio during the very formative stages of my growing interest in the Catholic faith, and you made such a difference in my life. I thank God I was listening one morning when you were reading the sixth chapter of John. I had never in my Protestant life heard that chapter read with such meaning. It was simply not part of my worldview. After what you read, I was never the same. I miss hearing you on Relevant Radio." And that's part of the motivation, Glenn, for coming back, because we can make a difference in people's lives. We can share our Catholic faith. You know, my hero, St. John Paul II, John Paul the Great, used to say, and I know Drew Mariani has quoted it so many times, "It's not enough to know Christ, we must introduce him to others."
Well, you know, as Scripture says, God's word will not return void. And we never know when we're reading a piece of Scripture on air or just sharing about our own faith, who is hearing that, and what a difference that might be making, how God intended those words to be used. And that's a pretty exciting thing to be part of. It helps us to be, you know, faithful and cautious with what we do say, but also have hope that great things we don't even know about can be happening out there on the other side of the radio speaker.
Without a doubt. Well, Glenn, it's great to be reunited with you once again. Look forward to your usual story corner that you've been doing for so many years, that is such a big part of this show. And we'll be having another edition of your story corner coming up a little bit later in the show. But Glenn, thanks again.
Hey, thank you, John. Great to have you back.
All righty. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Sean Carney, the president, CEO, and co-founder of 40 Days for Life, about clergy that actually support Planned Parenthood and think that abortion is just a fine idea. We're just warming up. Stay with us. There's much more to come on this Tuesday edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Tuesday, June 1st, the feast of St. Justin Martyr. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. It's great to be with you once again on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later on the show, we're going to talk about the meaning of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which we celebrate in this month of June, and we'll also have another new edition of Glenn's Story Corner. Now, Planned Parenthood recently announced new members to their clergy advisory board. What in the world is going on? Planned Parenthood has a clergy advisory board. What clergy would support Planned Parenthood is a very good question. And why should we, as Catholics and people of life, care? Our number, if you want to join the conversation, if you're passionate about the issue of life, call us at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, joining us to shine some light on this issue is my old friend, Sean Carney, the president, CEO, and co-founder of 40 Days for Life, 40daysforlife.com, the world's largest grassroots movement to end abortion, which has saved nearly 19,000 unborn babies from abortion since 2007. Sean, welcome back to Morning Air. It's great to be with you once again.
Well, good to be back. Thanks, John. Good morning.
Oh, good morning to you. How's everything going down in Texas?
It's going well. We are free and happy as ever in Texas. And it seems, you know, everybody in the world is moving here. So that's I think both good and bad, but things are well.
Well, Sean, you and I go way back to when we were working on the 40 film. 40 Days for Life has grown quite a bit. Back in 2012, when I first talked to you for our pro-life documentary, 40 Days for Life had only saved about 7,000 babies at that time from abortion. You guys have come a long, long way, coming up on 19,000. What has been the key to this amazing worldwide ministry?
I think the key has been obviously the Holy Spirit using this as an invitation for people to do something about abortion where they live. Often people feel helpless when it comes to, I think, the culture war in general, but particularly abortion. Like, well, I mean, what can I do? And in the United States, you can't force somebody to not have an abortion. And 40 Days for Life gave people of faith an opportunity to make this part of our weekly, monthly, daily spiritual life by praying and fasting for an end to abortion, but also showing up during those 40-day time periods and other parts of the year where you go to the abortion facilities to peacefully pray and you don't have to say anything, you know, and women turn around. And so, you know, I didn't know that I remember that interview. You interviewed me, I think it was like 6 degrees at the March for Life that
yeah,
year for your documentary.
Absolutely.
So I'm still warming up from that interview, but I didn't realize it was 7,000 at the time. So that's a great blast from the past. And around 2012, I think we were in, you know, about 200 cities, 250 cities, and now we're in 1,000 cities. And so it just shows how, you know, we've never had an injustice like abortion, where we've dehumanized a segment of our population with the support of 96% of the governments in the world. And yet, you know, natural law kicks in at some point, eternal law kicks in at some point, where despite it being legal, people around the world reject it and stand against it.
Truly a testament to the power of prayer and fasting, the amazing work that 40 Days for Life has done. We're talking with Sean Carney, president, co-founder, CEO, 40 Days for Life. Sean, let's talk a little bit about Planned Parenthood. Obviously, no Catholic clergy are on the board, but can you talk to us about who is on this board?
Yeah, well, it's a lot of misfits, frankly. It's kind of a group of the dysfunctional. There's two sides to this. Number one, this is always great when Planned Parenthood does this, and they do it every, I'd say, 5 years or so. And the reason I say it's great is because they still are trying to justify themselves in every corner of our society. And here they're getting together these people who, by the way, aren't real clergy at all, and saying, look, we have our own clergy. We love God too. We go to church too. We're good people too. And we love abortion, which is obviously completely incompatible. And so, but they feel the need to justify it. And you know, we've worked with 221 abortion facility workers who have had a change of heart and left their jobs. And all of those workers were in the large category of those in the abortion industry who just constantly have to justify it. You know, the doctors don't. They're usually very cold, very sterile. They drive in, they walk in, they do abortions, they leave. But the Abby Johnsons of the world, you know, they're sending that message. Hey, I go to church too. I'm a good person too. We just kind of disagree on this one thing. And it requires that, right? Because abortion kills an unborn child and is an abomination to God. And so you constantly have to justify it. You constantly have to rationalize it. And by the way, you don't do that. There aren't oncologists who have a group of clergy. There aren't dentists who have a group of clergy. But the abortion industry, in its, you know, attempt to be legitimate medicine, puts together all these goofy committees. And they do it every 5 years. We did a podcast on who actually these individuals are. And it's just bizarre. I mean, the abortion industry has gotten weirder over time. And there's just no other way to put it. Gone are the safe and legal abortions. And now we have shout your abortion and pro-abortion clergy. I will say, and we watch stuff like this. I mentioned that we did a podcast on it. This is bad for Planned Parenthood. I mean, their donors are, they don't want to get into the God thing. They don't want to get into the science thing. They want to stick to, my body, my choice. And that's their donor base. Most of them don't believe in God. They don't want to appear to believe in God. And I don't know why Planned Parenthood does this, but many of their own don't like this.
Well, Sean, it's been said by many in the pro-life movement that that life is winning in America. And I think that one of the reasons that it's winning, besides the great work of 40 Days for Life, is the fact that Planned Parenthood is actually being exposed. Do you think Planned Parenthood is being exposed today more than ever?
Absolutely. And it's frustrating for them because we have the most pro-abortion government we've ever had. And yet, at the grassroots, they're losing. I mean, they've had to close 36% of their locations over the last 10 years. And that transcends politics. That's with Obama as president. That's with Trump as president. They're just losing locally in the market. They don't want to close these locations and sort of move out of a town or consolidate. That's not their model, but they're having to do it. And that's a good sign. Because they're getting more tax dollars than they ever have gotten, unfortunately. And yet they're still struggling at the local level. They're also struggling at the top. Their new CEO is I don't think, any CEO of Planned Parenthood, it is a bad job in its nature. But she's not good at it. And they, she's the third one in 5 years. And so that trickles down. We have a lot of former workers that say that the morale has got to be low. And even things like the clergy, when you're working at a Planned Parenthood, there's a huge cliff of the corporate side of the abortion industry. And then those who are actually running an abortion facility in Omaha or Mobile, Alabama, totally different. And if you're sitting there working, whether you're a nurse or whether you're an administrative person, and you see this goofy clergy thing, it's just frustrating, when you see them, refusing to call Margaret Sanger a racist after pointing out that she spoke at the KKK and, all those kind of things. There's a huge disconnect. So it should be very encouraging for us as Catholics and as pro-life people to go out and to live our faith in the public square. I think it does more good now than ever before, and our culture is certainly starving for truth.
We're visiting with Sean Carney, President and CEO of 40 Days for Life. And Sean, as Catholics, should we be concerned? Is this something that we should be concerned that clergy of any kind are supporting Planned Parenthood?
Yes, if it were legitimate clergy. I mean, what they should have done is gone and found some disgruntled Catholic priest, or they could have found, some kind of Methodist bishop, or they could have found somebody who has kind of a title and is actually leading, a legitimate congregation. So it's one of those where I don't know why they chose. It's a bunch of misfits. We dug into all these people just because we had to. And they're just crazy. And so it's a lot of just individuals on Twitter who dress up like clerics. So I think we should be concerned. And as Catholics, it shows that we need the truth and the fullness of faith in our culture. And, what would not be funny at all is if you did have a bishop come out and say, there are cases, but our own teaching protects us against that. And even if a bishop did, a Catholic bishop, God forbid, our own doctrine corrects that. You know, you don't even have to look it up. We know that he's wrong. And so that's why even the scandals of the church affirm her truth. So I, you know, I'm not concerned about this incident. And I think that there are a lot of great evangelicals. There are a lot of great Catholic bishops who have been bringing up, you know, politicians supporting abortion in the public square. They've been addressing the abortion issue a lot in the recent weeks and months, because we do have the most pro-abortion government we've ever had. And so I think it's encouraging. And I think this lame attempt from Planned Parenthood is a response to that.
Sean, how can we give a counter message as Catholics and people of life?
Well, we can strive to be saints. I think there's nothing more important than that. And that just goes a long way in our daily life. And certainly standing up for the unborn, standing up for, you know, the beautiful sacrament of marriage, which has taken a beat down the last 50 years. And really, you know, praying and fasting and going to confession and going to adoration and saying the rosary with our children, that goes a long way, and it lays the foundation. I think particularly in the Catholic Church, there's just been a huge transition for the positive. The last, you know, 25 years, we have a lot of these great priests that are part of the John Paul II generation that are either older priests now or some of them are still young. And it's just vibrant. I mean, vocations are booming in a lot of places in the South in these dioceses. And so I think we're seeing a revival of Catholicism in America that's been going on for decades. Relevant Radio certainly is part of that. And it just should be very encouraging. I'm not, you know, I have 8 kids, and I get a lot of people, particularly working in the pro-life movement, where they're like, oh my gosh, it's just so awful. I mean, how could you bring a child into this world, you know, which is sort of an attack on the virtue of hope that you wouldn't have children because things are, quote, you know, really, really bad. But that's where saints thrive. And, you know, we don't get to choose when we're born. And this is a difficult time in the history of the West, for sure. And that means we need to get serious, and we need to take our faith seriously, and we need to live our faith joyfully, and the world will respond. It certainly will. And I think the best example of that from the work that we've been part of are those former workers who have left, people that you would say there's no way, you know, that man or that woman will ever leave the abortion industry. And they do. And more often than not, they end up coming into the Catholic Church. And so, you know, you don't know. And that's why we pray, we trust, and we, you know, hand this movement over to the cross.
Sean, in the 2 minutes we have left, can you tell us about the upcoming campaign? I think you guys are accepting applications for the next 40 Days for Life fall campaign.
Yes, the applications open today, June 1st, every year. So if people want to lead a 40 Days for Life campaign in the fall, which starts on September the 22nd, applications open today. And so we have just had now 3 years of record size campaigns. Every time we're getting more applications, even seeing a lot of abortion facilities close. We've had 110 close. So that's a good reason to lose a 40 Days for Life campaign. But we've picked up more cities and more locations. And so if you go to 40daysforlife.com/apply, you'll see the application, and you can discern whether you're called to lead a 40 Days for Life campaign. And we take you from A to Z in our summer training to get you ready.
Excellent. 40daysforlife.com/apply. Sean Carney, my friend, president, CEO, co-founder of 40 Days for Life, thanks so much for being with us on my very first morning air show here on Relevant Radio.
Oh, well, it was a great honor. I thought with your sports background, you'd have Michael Jordan or somebody as your first guest. So when I saw that, I was very much honored. So thank you.
Well, Sean, you're right on track. Those are two of my passions. My love of sports, but also my love of life and defending the unborn. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus here in the month of June with Catholic evangelist Omar Aguilar from the Diocese of Dallas, Texas. And we'll also have the latest Glenn Story Corner. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Tuesday, June 1st, the Feast of St. Justin Martyr. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. It's a privilege to be with you once again here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to have another edition of Glenn's Story Corner. Now, this month of June is the month traditionally dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, with the Feast of the Sacred Heart coming up on June 11th, a week from this Friday. My heart is so replete with love for men, and especially for you, that the flames of its love can no longer be restrained. Those were the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. It was because of her visions of Jesus and his Sacred Heart that we have the Feast of the Sacred Heart and devotion to the Sacred Heart in this month of June. What is the meaning of this devotion, and why does our Lord Jesus Christ want us to know his Sacred Heart? Our number, if you want to join the conversation, if you have a special devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, call us at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. The prophet Jeremiah says, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall seek me with all your heart." Christ wants all of our hearts. And now joining us to talk about the Sacred Heart of Jesus is an old friend, Omar Aguilar, the Director of Religious Education for Mary Immaculate Church in Farmers Branch, Texas, in the Diocese of Dallas. Omar is also the host of several Catholic and pro-life programs on Spanish radio and television, and the author of the book Latino Catholics in the United States. Brother Omar, it's great to be reunited with you here on Morning Air after being a regular contributor on Relevant Radio and Vivo. Welcome to the show this morning.
Oh, John, it's great to be with you this morning. I'm so happy and so blessed to be with you.
Well, Omar, first of all, tell us a little bit about St. Margaret Mary and her amazing visions. How did this all become associated with this devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus that we have here in the month of June?
Yeah, well, first of all, I guess one of the most important things that we can learn from St. Mary Margaret, it's that she comes from a very religious family. You know, her beginnings start at home with her parents being very devout, very united. And that's something that nowadays we certainly can look up to and learn from them, then how important it is, the family, how important it is to pass the faith along to our kids, to teach the faith to our family, not to just to keep it to ourselves, but also to pretty much let everyone know that we believe in God, that we go to Mass, that we live the sacraments. And so the very beginning is that Margaret Mary was a girl that came from a very devout family, that on her early ages, she went through some different illness. And along the way, her dad passed away. Then her family struggles with the loss of property and different things. So all throughout her life, she's seen, I guess, the two faces of her life here on earth. God always present in her life, but at the same time, the struggle of everyday life, illness, death, loss of property, all these things start created in her this very unique heart, this very unique way to see the world. And that's how, on her early ages, she decided to become a nun, to join and enter into the religious life.
And, of course, this devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus emphasizes the love of God for all. Some people might think, if God loves me, I can do whatever I want. How can we understand the true love of God through this devotion to his Sacred Heart?
Yeah, this is quite important, especially nowadays, precisely that sadly there's a lot of misguided idea about God. And yeah, a lot of people that think, well, you know, I can do whatever because the love of God is, it's merciful and it's eternal and it will never leave me. But yet at the same time, what we learn through the premises of the Sacred Heart, is that he will, that the love of God and his Sacred Heart will give us all the graces that we need to live in a state, to live in a state of sanctity, to become saints. So his love is not only sufficient to keep us close to him, even when we're not doing good, even when we're sinning, but at the same time, his Sacred Heart is going to lead us into a better life, not only into a good life, but into a better life. He's going to lead us so one day, hopefully, we all can become saints. You know, his Sacred Heart also promises us that he will give peace to our homes. He will bring peace into our houses. And how important is that is nowadays with all the different things, all the social media, all the different things that we're seeing that even they are inside our homes. How important it is to find peace. He will come for those that are afflicted. He will come for those that are suffering over the last 14 months or so. How much suffering we've seen all throughout the world. You know, it's everywhere. So the Sacred Heart of God, he will come for all of us. These are some of the promises that through the visions, through the writings of Mary and Mary, Jesus is given to all of us so we can one day once again become saints. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. All of us reaching heaven, all of us becoming saints.
We're joined by Omar Aguilar from Dallas, Texas, Catholic evangelist and author, talking about devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus here in this month of June. Omar, on the other end of the spectrum, some people feel like, I'm such a bad sinner. How can God love me? How can this devotion help us to understand the love of the Lord through the Sacred Heart?
Yes, one thing that we always need to remember is no one is far removed from the heart of God. No one is far removed from his mercy, but definitely we need to be willing to reach out. And another beautiful of these promises is that sinners will find in my heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy. Even those that feel like I am not worthy, I seem so terrible that there's no way that Jesus can forgive me. Yes, he can. All we need to do is to reach out. All we need to do is ask for that forgiveness. All we need to do is seek for that forgiveness. Another of the promises is that the lukewarm souls shall become fervent. And that's what happens when you go from a state of sin to a state of grace after even denying the love of God or thinking that you're not good enough for it. Once you are transformed by his love, by his mercy, your heart is on fire and you want to take this love that you're feeling and pass it on and give it on. It's like, you know, in the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter and John, they were detained and they were put in jail. And then the Sanhedrin and all the Pharisees, they were saying, what do we do with these guys? And they said, well, we're not going to kill them, but let's just go and ask them, tell them not to talk anymore about this guy, Jesus, right? And the beautiful answer of Peter and John in the chapter 4 is amazing. It's, you know, you be the judge if we follow the world or follow Christ. But we cannot stop talking about the things that we've seen, the things that we have heard. And that's what the Sacred Heart of Jesus is all about. That's what this beautiful message is all about, is to pass along, to talk about the things that we have seen and we have heard. And these things are that he will bless every place in which an image of my heart is exposed and honored. He will give the priest the gift of touching the most hardened hearts. Those who shall promote his devotion shall have their name written in my heart. These are some of the promises that through the mystic revelation of Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, Jesus is given to all of us.
Omar, do you see a connection between this devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Divine Mercy devotion that came centuries later through Saint Faustina?
Quite an interesting question. Indeed, we're talking about two young ladies that have, first of all, their own struggles in their personal lives, and then you can see that Jesus is always close to them until one day they finally decided to give themselves to this love. And then this love is a love that not only wants to stay with them, but wants to partner with them in a saintly way to spread the message of the mercy of God. You know, started off with Saint Margaret and Mary, back in the 17th century, and then on the 20th century, we see it with St. Faustina, which is the same, pretty much the same message, is you're never too far removed from the mercy of God.
Well, Omar, we have a beautiful image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus here in the studio as we conduct this show. And for me personally, the devotion to the Sacred Heart is so special. In fact, I buried my father with this image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus years ago. And so it gives us great comfort as Catholics to know the love that comes from the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, a heart that bleeded for us, a heart that gave his life for us, a heart that stays with us, a heart that we can come in and encounter with in the Eucharist. And this is Christ himself. This is his heart, his total love for all in each and every one of us. That once again, no one is far removed from his mercy, from his love. And that's, you know, that should be the message that unites us and say, yes, the Sacred Heart of Jesus is gonna lead me. It's gonna take me from this, perhaps not the best place that I'm at in my life right now, and then I can become a saint. I can attain that. I can reach heaven through the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Since at the end of the day, our main goal is to have union with God, can you talk about how this devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus can help us to get closer to the Lord?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I would like for everyone to, you know, do a quick search on the internet, and you can find the promises. They're literally all over the place. And you, once you start reading through the 12 promises of Christ, and you start really paying attention, what is it that Jesus is asking you to do? You can see from the very beginning, from the very first one, you can see that all he wants is for you to be united with him. You know, he will give you the graces. He will establish peace. He will give you comfort. He will give you security. Your refuge, he will give you blessings. He will find, you will find in his heart the source of mercy. You'll become a more fervent believer. You will, I love number, what is it? I think it's number 8, that the one that it says, fervent soul shall quickly mount to higher perfection. You will become a saint. All of these promises are just another pathway to heaven, another road that we can follow to heaven. There's many ways that we can reach heaven, and the Sacred Heart is just one of those many ways, but all to his heart, all through everything that we do.
Well, my friend Omar, thank you so much for being with us here on my very first show on Morning Air. Omar Aguilar, Director of Religious Education for Mary Immaculate Church in Farmers Branch, Texas, in the Diocese of Dallas. Thank you so much, Omar.
God bless y'all.
God bless you, too. Now it's time for a Tuesday edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Threatened with Death by Daniel Sathyaraj. It was Easter Sunday, 1973, in Uganda, groaned under the terror of Idi Amin. Still fresh in young pastor Kifa Sempangi's memory was a face burned beyond recognition. The sight of soldiers cruelly beating a man and the horrible sound of boots crushing bones, all for the crime of being a Christian. But Easter of 1973, Pastor Sempangi bravely and openly preached on the risen Lord in his town's football stadium to over 7,000 people. After the service, 5 of Idi Amin's secret police followed Sempangi back to his church and closed the door behind them. 5 rifles pointed at Sempangi's face. "We're going to kill you for disobeying Amin's orders," said the captain. "You have something to say, say it before you die." Sempangi, thinking of his beautiful wife and lovely little girl, began to shake, but the risen Lord, living in his heart, gave him the courage to speak. "Do what you must," he said. "The word of God says that in Christ I'm already dead and that my real life is hidden with him in God. It's not my life that's in danger, but yours. I'm alive in the risen Lord, but you are still dead in your sins. May he spare you from eternal destruction." The leader looked at Sempangi for a long time. Then he lowered his gun and said, "Will you pray for us?" Sempangi did, and those 5 officers were converted through the witness of Sempangi's bravery. They also became his protectors rather than his aggressors. From Colossians 3:3, "For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God."
And thanks so much, Glenn, as always, for another outstanding edition of Glenn.